love that endures forever. We thank you, Lord God, for your word and your precious Holy Spirit who is the teacher. And we just pray that you would take what we have tonight, Lord God, to bring it forth and bring yourself glory and honor. May we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So last week we started talking about the types in redemption, that we have been redeemed. Aren't you glad? He paid a tremendous price to set us free that we could walk in the fullness of all of the benefits of our salvation. And when we fell in every area, spirit, soul, and body. So Jesus has paid the price for us to be redeemed in every area, spirit, soul, and body. And last week we looked at the Passover as a type of redemption. And then we brought it into the New Testament. And we can see that through communion, in the Passover, they covered the doorpost with the blood. You covered in the blood? Amen. Amen. I hope so. If not, then we can take care of that tonight too. Amen. So we're covered by the blood. They did that, and then they partook of the flesh. Amen. Of the Lamb, the spotless Lamb. Well, Jesus is the Lamb. He is the spotless Lamb. And we are have our redemption through his blood, and we thank God for that. So when we break bread, when we partake of communion, what you should see is his body being broken for you. That's the type. The fulfillment in the New Testament, which is called the antitype, is communion. We see that he was called the Passover. Amen. So that was what we covered last week. And the type that we're going to cover this week is Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. And if we go over to Leviticus chapter 25, we'll read that in starting in verse 8. And it says this, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years in the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49. So 49 years. And thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall be the trumpet sound throughout all the land." So their sin was being atoned for on that day. The trumpet sound is representative. It's a type. It's an example of the gospel being spoke forth. Amen. And you shall hallow the 50th year. So the 50th year is holy unto the Lord. "And proclaim liberty throughout the land unto the inhabitants thereof." And in the New Testament, we're told that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. So we're to proclaim that. And I think one of the things that we get caught up in this life is we don't proclaim our liberty. We don't proclaim what has been done for us. Instead, we're proclaiming what we're in the midst of rather than what's been bought and delivered unto us. So we need to vocalize more and to keep it in the forefront more what our redemptive rights are, what belongs to us. Amen. I can't remember if it's Mark Hankins. I think it's Mark Hankins. Ken Copeland. Real, real big about speaking forth what you have. I think Mark Hankins has a book that's called Never Run at the Giant with Your Mouth Shut. Amen? You run and you're proclaiming and you're declaring your victory. Amen? Amen. You guys there tonight? Amen. So, verse 11. Well, let me just finish verse 10. "You shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." So we're supposed to be proclaiming the liberty that we have to all the inhabitants, not just those in the church world. Amen. "And it shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family." What would happen was when they were in debt, they didn't have Visa and MasterCard to go up forever and then get hung by it. What they did was they would be indebted. They, their wife, their children would be sold into slavery to serve and to pay off their debts until the year of Jubilee. There you go. There's a credit plan for you. So, a Jubilee shall be that 50th year unto you, and you shall not sow, neither shall you reap that which grows itself in it, nor gather the grapes of it in of the vine undressed, for it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you, and you shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. And in the year of this Jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest unto thy neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor. And according to the number of years of the fruits, he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years, thou shalt increase the price thereof. And according to the fewness of years, thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of years of the fruits, doth it sell unto thee. And you shall not therefore oppress one another, but you shall fear God, for I am the Lord your God. So they could sell their property and it would go, but you wouldn't, if it was only 4 years till Jubilee, it's not going to go for a huge price. It's going to go for a lesser price because there's only 4 years, and then it goes back to the original owner. Amen? If it's a year after Jubilee and you've already corrupted yourself and gotten both feet in debt and you need to sell off your property again, then it's going to go for a larger price. Amen. So it was kind of prorated system for yourself, for your lands, for your family. Amen. It's kind of a neat plan. Amen. Because in that 50th year, the year of Jubilee, everything that was lost, everything that they had lost, whether it was their land or their freedom in serving, it went back and they were set free. They were liberated. Amen. That's a good thing, isn't it? Amen. I don't know about you, but people that are in debt are in heavy bondage, and it weighs on them. It weighs them down. It hinders them from having liberty to make choices, and it binds them up to where they're not free at all. And and this is just, you know, when Jesus came to set us free, it was on every area. Amen? This is Faith and Healing School. And the year of Jubilee doesn't actually, it's not like the Passover lamb where it's obvious it's sin and it's sickness. This covers sickness and disease, but it's the whole of man. We're supposed to shout the trumpet, blow the trumpet. Amen? Declare the year of the Lord. Amen? Because it's been given unto us. We have been set free. Spirit, soul, and body. Totally free. Amen. And first off, we got to believe it. Do you believe it? Amen. Not just, oh, that's a good idea. Or, yeah, that's nice. But this is what he paid for. So you can be free, so I can be free. He wants the body free. That's before we read that scripture last week, that before the foundations of the world, he came. Amen. He was the lamb slain. He already paid the price before we were created. Amen. So the plan was in place so that when we came, he knew it. He laid his life down to bring us back into a place where we could come into fellowship with him and walk in the fullness of our redemption. Amen. Once again, declaring the liberty and the abundance of what we've been given. Life in Christ. The life of God in us. Amen. The freedom to live it, to declare it, to fellowship with him. That's the ultimate. Amen. Sometimes we're after the goods. We want the healing and we want to be blessed financially and we want different things like that within our lives. But the ultimate of all of it is him. He is the great reward. It's what he spoke to Abraham. I am your very great reward. That's the biggest, bestest thing that we have. Amen. Is the relationship, the fellowship that we have with God. So he brought that all together so that we can walk in the fullness of that. Well, in his presence, there's peace. There's joy. Amen. You cannot go into the presence of God. If we truly think this thing through, what an awesome thing we have, because what happens when you go in the presence of God? There's fullness of, there's peace evermore. Amen. There's light, right? What is light? It's revelation. Amen. You can see clearly where there's light, right? In his light, there is light. So you step into the presence of God and you're surrounded by the light of God. Revelation comes to you. Amen. Oh, you know, if you've got the idea, I got to plug in my God time, I'm going to be in trouble if I don't have my devotion. You've got such a small little picture of what it's all about, because our God has so much more. He wants to reveal things to us, but we got to take the time with him to get it. Amen. We have to take a little bit of time with him. Amen. And with a heart. It says, God, I want to know you. Amen. So he's the best. He's the ultimate. And any time with him, sickness and disease cannot stand in the presence of the Lord. Sin and shame and guilt and fear, it cannot stand in the presence of the Lord. You go into the presence of the Lord, you begin to worship him and exalt him. And where's that stuff go? Do you ever begin to worship God and there's a heaviness on you and you truly begin to worship God? Lift him up over the situation. What happens?
He lifts you up.
He lifts you up. What else happens? Yeah, it's kind of like the, what do they call those things? The
telescope.
I knew it wasn't a microscope. It's like a telescope, only you turn it around. And you're thinking, you're seeing this great big huge problem. And you begin to exalt God. God gets bigger, and what happens to the problem? It gets smaller. It just shrinks down to nothing. It gets in perspective because it is nothing. Right? I mean, if God's got it, he's got it. If we truly can come to a place where we say, okay, God, you're greater. You are the greater one. You are the holy one. And I'm trusting you with this situation. Whether it be your health or your finances, your relationships, your provision, it doesn't matter what it is. Amen. We can drive ourselves nuts by living so stressed out. Right? And not only then, it doesn't just affect you, because whoever you are around, guess what you're doing? It goes every direction you go. Amen? But that's not how God wants us to live. He wants us to come to a place where we're at peace because we know him. We know his goodness. We know his mercy. We know his provision for us. And we just have to believe it. Okay, God. And sometimes you have to talk to yourself. Preach to yourself and say, no. It's not going to go this way. God's word says different. I'm going to see what God says. Amen. And you just got to remind yourself, David encouraged himself in the Lord. I mean, he was a leader. And all of a sudden, all these men turn on him and they want to kill him. His men. And he didn't have anyone around to encourage him. But he did it himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And sometimes you're in a situation like that where you feel like, I'm just out here hanging by myself. Well, that's not necessarily true, because he will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You are never alone. He's always with you. So you're never going to be by yourself. Oh, I guess all I can do now is pray. Well, shouldn't have been the last thing. Should have been the first. Amen? So, you know, I mean, really, we've got to just switch some things around sometimes and just get it in perspective. Because things can get so blown out of perspective that the problem, the issue we're dealing with is so enlarged and so big to us that we can't hardly function. And we got to get to a place where we're lifting that to the Lord and we're trusting Him with it. Amen? Where we're just letting go of the thing. Amen? Well, so the trumpet to be sounded was a type of the gospel, and we're to continue to sound that gospel trumpet even today. All that was lost in the fall can be taken back, just like in the day of Jubilee. What was lost was restored. Amen. So let's look at Romans chapter 8. And I think we'll go to verse 23. It says, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." Amen. So we're looking at something here. We're looking at the first fruits of our inheritance. Amen? And what is that? The earnest of our inheritance is the redemption of our body. Amen. So He is revealing to us here in this life, in this day and hour. What happens when you buy a house?
Oh, you get a house payment book.
Yeah, you get a house payment book. But when you're going to buy the house, if you're truly interested, the seller wants an earnest, right? So that earnest says what? I'm serious about this. I'm going to be good with my word, right? This is saying the earnest of our inheritance is what? The redemption of our bodies. That the things of the Spirit, the things to come, amen. Hallelujah. He's already given His word. And it shows up in our bodies. Amen? That's the earnest of our inheritance. That's Him saying, I'm good for my word. Amen? That's good news. Amen? Anybody in here ever experienced some healing in your body? It's good news, isn't it? He's good for His word. Did you have something? I thought so. He jumped up a minute ago, so.
Now, Jubilee is the time to get things back that you used to have. If you had a better knee 5 years ago than you've got now, it's time to get that better knee back. Amen. Or better shoulder back. Or if your mind was clearer 10 years ago than it is now, it's a restoration time. You don't have to go downhill. The thing about it is that you can go uphill. You can improve all the way to the end of your death. And a lot of people, they struggle with that because they think there's supposed to be this massive collapse of your whole system, how you decline. We've been trained to believe that. The Bible didn't train us to believe that. People replaced the Bible with their own experiences, and then they generalized it and said, well, that happens to everybody. And they said it enough and get everybody to believe enough to where after a while everybody buys into that after a certain point you get worse. Now, I have 20/20 vision. You didn't used to have 20/20 vision. I have 20/20 vision. Last year it was tested twice. And they said, you know, you got a little cataract there. I said, well, I don't know that. I can't see it. They said, well, I said, what should we do about it? They said, nothing. I said, we can't improve your eyes because if we tried to, we can't get better than they are now. I know some people try to shove stuff in my face and I say, just a second, where's my reading glasses? just hold it back a little bit, but I've got 20/20 vision. I didn't have 20/20 vision before. It's a year of getting things back. Now, listen to this. The Jews have been meticulous about keeping track of time for thousands of years. And every 7 years was called a Shemitah year, and then they had to let the land rest. And Pastor Shelley talked about seven sevens, or 49s, and then the Jubilee. The people that failed to follow the Jubilee would have an economic penalty on their lives. It would, their world would collapse if they failed to trust God. In the Jubilee year, they let the land rest, and they had to trust God. They didn't plant food. They had to have enough that God supplied, coming up to the Jubilee year, enough to get them through all the way for the whole year. They didn't plant. They didn't reap. They didn't do anything. In fact, they took it easy for that year at the same time and trusted God the whole year. Now, because the Jews were so meticulous, I think probably only one person here wasn't alive in 1965, right? Yeah, okay. That was the last Jubilee year in 1965. The current Jubilee year began this year, September 13th, I think it was. September 13th. And it goes forward to September 13th, the same time, 1 year from now in 2016. Those that trust God for the Jubilee year not only will have things restored to them throughout this year, those that fail to follow God, you'll watch their lives and nations collapse economically after the fall of 2016. Those that did not honor God during this Jubilee year, because this Jubilee year is still here. That's the Old Testament. These types shot forward in time that we still take advantage of them. We don't follow them like rules and rituals, because our salvation is a new covenant, the Christ covenant, the blood covenant in Christ. But he came not only to fulfill the law, because there's two verses, one to end, put an end to it, and one to fulfill it and live it. If we realized how many of God's promises still shot forward, the promises shot forward, not the that the ritualistically, we're not cutting sheep's throats up here tonight so that we can somehow honor God, or killing a dove, or doing that kind of stuff. But the spirit of the Old Testament, the true nature and purpose and will of God didn't change. He still wants restoration to come to us if we will realize God is the God of Jubilee. He's the one that set it up. It was his idea. It's still a good idea. I think it's fantastic that we're alive right now, and it actually is the Jubilee year, because the next one is coming around 50 years from now, and if Jesus doesn't come back, how old are you going to be in 50 years? Yeah, this is probably your last Jubilee, either because Jesus is coming back or you're going to Jesus, one or the other two, you know, one of those going on. But the purpose of the Jubilee is this. I want it back. I want everything back. If spiritually I was better 15 years ago or 10 or 5, I want that back. I want it all back. Emotionally, physically, it's mine, I want it back. No loss. Not this, well, yeah, you go downhill, it's got to be this way. Not true. I mean, the electrocardiogram and the CT scan and the carotid artery scan and everything they did to me when I was in the hospital this week, they came back and they said, you have the heart and the system of a young man. They said, there's so much blood flowing through you, and that there's no blockages anywhere. I mean, I have a resting heart rate in my 40s. My pulse is in the 40s. And the issue is, how can you do that? Well, there's nothing stopping it. It's open. They say, you're like a young man on the inside. and we can't find anything wrong. I wound up in the hospital because I did some stupid things, got extremely dehydrated, and collapsed my blood pressure. It was already low from weight loss and a bunch of other choices I made that were kind of like health choices. Some products I was taking, aftermarket products and supplements and that, and I crashed my blood pressure. That day I had way too much coffee, and the combination of dehydration put me down, and it put me down hard and fast. Any one thing by itself would have thought to have been good, but the combination of it all about took me out. I didn't do things in moderation. I blew past a little subtle warnings from God, and I wound up going down. The tests all came back like, wow, we can't find anything wrong with you or your adrenal gland, or there's just nothing that we can locate. They did almost 6 hours of tests, one after another, after another, after another, after another, until they came to the conclusion, you were dehydrated and you messed yourself up. And here's how you can change it back. Well, I was glad to hear that. I don't have to take a pill. You know what I need to do? Limit my coffee. Drink a lot more fluids. Those are two of the things. Rest more. Eat more. And do it in moderation. I even have to take salt in, not just drink water. I need to have some salt with that water, too. And if I go back to what the Bible said, I get it all back. And I'm feeling good and I'm doing well. But the idea of the Jubilee year was, what do you want back that you used to have? And you've got to stop your thinking. If you're thinking, well, that was because I was younger. There is no such thing as youth and age in the spirit realm. The Old Testament guys, when they were ready to die, that says they were clear, their vision was clear. They would pull their feet up into the bed, gather their family around them, bless them all, say goodbye, and leave. Healthy. They died healthy. How? What do you mean they died healthy? They did. My grandma was 95 when she died healthy. About 3 weeks before she died, she stopped taking fluids in. She tried to pretend and fake it, you know, like she was drinking and eating. And as she dehydrated herself, slowly her organs started to slow down. She purposely stopped herself from eating and drinking. And she had no disease, she had no dysfunction, but her organs just slowed down and she left. The issue, Brother Hagin had a lady that was sick and ready to die, and she said, well, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm ready to go. He said, well, let's not let you go sick and hurting. How about this? How about we get you feeling well, then you can leave? You know, he wasn't trying to stop her from going to heaven. But he said, let's do this first. Well, guess what? When she stopped hurting and got better, wanting to leave kind of wasn't on top of her agenda as much anymore. He said, let's get you healthy first, then you can leave. Remember what Jesus Christ talked about, that no man takes my life from me, but into your hands? He released his spirit. We have more power than you can imagine about staying or going and releasing our spirit. And if you've got the idea that I've got to deteriorate and die, that is not working with the will and the plan of God. And it's so bizarre to rethink the process of I will die healthy and die by faith. And you go, well, then what does that mean? How do you know when you're going to die? Well, you'll know. You'll know. The Apostle Paul knew, because he reached a point where he said, I've run my race. I finished my course. That meant that he could leave any time after that. You understand? Because he had fulfilled the will of God for his life. So he had crossed a line, and at that point in time, past that line, he could leave. Now, he left as a martyr, and part of that martyrdom was some decisions that he made that would expose himself to those kind of things. But he was done. He had finished his course. If you don't know absolutely 100% from God that you're done doing everything that he's asked you to do, then you're not ready to go yet. And you can move in that direction, but be and stay healthy. I realize that your hair turns white. I realize that there may not be moisture in your skin. There's some things you can do in the natural to deal with that, too. I realize that there's a slowing down sometimes, but the issue is it doesn't have to be detrimental. It doesn't have to be. Some of you, no, all of you know a few people who were very old and strong and spry. I mean, my great-grandpa, at 95, you couldn't keep up with him. Zoom, zoom. My other grandpa was in his 90s, and he finally died. You know what happened? He got hit by a car. And even then, he held on for a while. And you look at some of these people and think, okay, what did they do different? I think they ate yogurt and granola. And, I don't know what they did different, but this much I know. You can recover from where you were before, but you have to believe it. How did you get saved to begin with? You had to do one thing to get saved, and I'm not saying accept Jesus. Before that, what? Believe. You only had to do one thing to gain eternal salvation. That was believe. And the result of that belief took you to the next step of receiving eternal life through Christ by confessing Him as Lord. That's an act of faith and such. Well, this is the same thing. We have to stop our old way of thinking and start thinking in terms of what does the Bible say? What did the Old Testament people say? What does the Scripture say? Not medical science, not people's experience that's replaced it, but what does the Bible say? With long life I will
satisfy
you. And of course, the rest of that verse is, but near the end of your life, I won't satisfy you because it's going to get really bad and worse and you'll deteriorate, right? I don't see that verse there. With long life I will satisfy you. What part of the word long and life and satisfy do we try to plug in this collapse and deterioration? It's not there, is it? No. And the people that I've known that have deteriorated and they've gotten older and such, I've seen them with the paunch and I've seen them with things like that, they start to let themselves go. And they start to move in that direction. And you realize they don't have to be that way. But then you ask them, how long do you want to live? Well, I don't want to live to be 100. I don't, you know, I may, some of them say that, but then they go, well, all my friends would, I don't want my kids and grandkids going first and me having to go through all that and that. I want to be out of here first and I want to leave before that happens. And pretty soon they are moving towards their own death by their own words. They're starting to let go and give up. But they don't have to. They don't have to. Those that commit to long life and satisfaction get that all the way to the end. And you could be like my granny where you can die of nothing. You can die healthy. Just a slow down of the organs in a short amount of time, painless, effortless, and then she just kind of slipped into a sleep and then left us. What a way to go. Brother Hagin was sitting at the breakfast table having
strawberries
and cream in a bowl with his wife, his best friend, and his best friend's wife. He looked up at his wife, he smiled at her, and lowered his head. She said, he's gone, isn't he? And his best friend looked over at him and said, yeah, he's gone. He's sitting at breakfast. And he just smiles and lowers his head and left. Incredible. And so the Jubilee year gives you the opportunity to run through a list of the way it used to be, and you get it back, everything back. Jubilee, you got your house back, your land back, your kids back, your cattle back. You got everything back, and God is saying, you want a Jubilee, you can have it. And the thing about us is that we're in a real Jubilee. Yeah. Not that we couldn't have it any time of the year. By coincidence of this night's teaching, we are in the Jewish Jubilee year all the way till next September 2016. Boy, that ought to just kick your faith into high gear and saying, wow, God is here, and restoration is available. Now, one other thing real quick, and Pastor Shelley used the word atonement, and we've been using that a lot. That's kind of a fancy word. It really means a covering. It means like if a guy is sweeping the kitchen floor, and he has a pile of dirt, and he picks up the rug and sweeps it under the rug and drops the rug on top of it so his wife don't see it. That's the word atonement. It means it's covered up. In the Old Testament, our sins were covered by the blood of the animal so that God could interact with us. Sin was covered over. Now, there is a word atonement used in the New Testament of Christ being an atonement for our sins. You thought, whoa, did he just cover him up? That word means to destroy, completely obliterate into non-existence. And it's a different meaning than the Old Testament where you covered up the dirt. This one, you tossed a grenade under the rug with the dirt, and after the grenade went off, it was gone. And so there's two words for atonement. So you got to be careful thinking about, well, which one? Is this the atonement of Christ or the atonement of the old covenant? Because they were treated with two different meanings. But when we're talking about there, it meant that God wanted to even have a relationship then, but something had to cover it before he could interact. And that covering came with Christ, but Christ destroyed it. So never again does it have to be atoned for. Never again will it be covered again because it's already been eliminated and wiped out. Bless God.
Just wanted to read a scripture in Isaiah 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what, remember, Jesus was preaching in that synagogue that one day. It says, and because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Well, the acceptable year of the Lord is the year of Jubilee. Amen. That's where we're at today. This is the year of the Lord. Did you ever hear that? It's the year of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are living a perpetual Jubilee. So even though with the Jewish and how they celebrated it, we're in the place where we're to live it perpetually, that he's restored us perpetually. Amen. That we're not behind in anything, that the debt has been paid in full, and that we have everything that we have need of pertaining to life and godliness. That we can live above life circumstances, that we can rise up to the place that he created us to begin with. Man was never created with his God's intentions were never for us to be sick or diseased or infirm or weak or impoverished in any way. The way he created it was with perfection in mind. That we didn't have to work by the sweat of our brow. That we didn't have to have children with pain and suffering. Amen? That's part of the curse of the fall. Sickness and disease, death entered in at a point when man sinned. But up till that point, there was none. So God's redeeming, bringing us back to the place that we can walk in the fullness of all the benefits of our salvation. There will be separation from this life, but not separation from life itself. That sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. Because we go into the presence of God when you die. So the person that dies goes from life to life. We say they're dead, but they're more alive than they ever had been down here. So, but the separation, death is separation from life. So from us, there's a separation, but for them, there isn't. Amen? Their life doesn't cease to exist. They're more alive than they ever were on earth. Death has lost its sting. If you know Jesus Christ, it's something to look forward to. Not something to hurry into, because he has plans and purposes for you. But it's something not to fear, but to look forward to. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 6:2. Like we're talking before about the types, the antitype. Antitype is the fulfillment that we see in the New Testament proclaiming these things. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. There, behold now is the accepted time. Behold now is the day of salvation. When is it? It's now. The day of salvation is an all-inclusive word. It comes from the root in the sozo. It's all-inclusive. To save, to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, to do well, to be or make whole. Amen. Today is the day. Amen. We don't have to wait for today is the appointed time. Today is the day of the Lord. Today is the perpetual jubilee. Today we get in on all the benefits of our salvation. It is the year of the Lord. Amen? That's why he came to redeem us and to bring us into the fullness of all the benefits of our salvation. And the saddest thing is the church, by and large, we've been lacking exactly that. We have not been walking in the fullness of our benefits. We've been kind of putting our foot in the water, getting our little feet wet. But we haven't dove right in to walk out what's been given to us. And it's been given to us. It's been delivered unto us. It belongs to us. A tremendous price has been paid so that we can have it. Amen. So we ought to kind of get just dog determined. We're going to have it. If he said we're going to have it, then we ought to have it. We ought to just, just dig our little feet in there and put up a fight and be determined. No. My God said I'm going to have it. Amen. Caitlin, your eyesight. God said, it's yours. Amen? Amen. It belongs to you because he paid for your eyes. Amen. He paid for your ears, for your teeth, for your heart. Like Pastor Gary, the scripture he just alluded to was, their eyes shall not go dim. Amen. Their hearing not abated. We're not to lose our eyesight and our hearing. But we start thinking we are. And what happens when you start thinking that way? It happens. We're giving place to it. We need to just kind of, no, I'm not going there. Amen? And just, what's been given unto us? Everything. Everything we need. Everything. He's not withholding any good thing from those that walk upright. Amen? Amen. That doesn't mean they walk perfect. It means they walk upright. They're heading towards God. Righteous. How are we righteous? Because we're, same as the Passover, we're covered in the blood. Whose blood? Jesus. Not your blood? You mean you can't make yourself righteous? Nope. It's only by his blood. But we're covered by the blood. That means we qualify. And if we're heading towards him, we don't, even if you make a mistake, if you're quick to repent, guess what? It's in the past. The minute you repent, it's gone. Aren't you glad? We don't have to live under guilt and shame and condemnation. We just accept the forgiveness that's given unto us. We're free. That's one of the biggest things we need to be free from is living under, yeah, I made a mistake. And not flipping like, so what? Like, get over it for somebody else. Get over it for yourself. Because if you're under guilt and shame and condemnation, it's an oppressive force that will keep you down. And you need to just let go. Yep, Lord, I blew it. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. And then let go. Amen? And trust him to line those things back up. Because his will for you is still partake of the goodness and the promises. And for many of us, there's things he spoke years and years and years and years ago, and we haven't even moved in that direction because we've been self-condemning and don't feel worthy of it. And it's time to pick it back up. Say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up. I don't know how you can do it, but I know you can do it. So I'm giving you my life. Just recommit it back to him. And get yourself out from that heap of garbage that the enemy tries to put on you. We're free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Every area, every aspect. Total jubilee. Total, complete victory in Jesus. Triumphant in Christ Jesus. What's been lost has been restored. It all belongs to us. Not because of how good we are, but because of how good he is. Amen? So that's the year jubilee. And I'm just so thankful. Amen. That we have what we have. We're not lacking. Amen? We're not lacking. If there's promises in the Word of God, keep them before you. Get a notebook out and start writing. You come across a promise when you're reading, it doesn't matter what it is. Just ask God, begin to show me your promises, Lord. I want to walk in the fullness of the benefits of my salvation. I want to come to a place where I'm living how you want me to, the place that you have made for me to. Because there is a place in God. There are benefits that we should partake of every day of our life. Amen. There's good things. And if we're not experiencing good things, there's a problem. There's a problem. And we need to just, what are we looking at? What are we, because we can get ourselves to where we're just looking at the negative. And we don't have any expectation to come out of it at all. And then you're in trouble. And we have to change our thinking. Stinking thinking robs you. We got to change the thinking to, everything's got to be based on what the Word of God says. Amen. Everything. But if it says it in the Word, then it's there for us to partake of. And it's not because you're better than somebody else, and it's not that they're getting blessed because they're holier than you. They're just believing God. Amen? Amen? Because he's not a respecter of persons. Aren't you glad? Amen. I am so glad it doesn't just the favorites get it. Because with him, we're all on the same playing ground. The blood's been shed for every one of us. We can all partake of the goodness of God. All partake of the benefits. The table's been set. It's just up to us to come and partake of what's there. Got something?
I recently had a person come to me, kind of complaining, grumbling and complaining, because they've been dealing with some medical issues, and they were getting worse, and they came to me not to complain to God about their medical issues. They came to me to complain that this other person that they know in our church wasn't living right and wasn't living for God, but God kept healing her every time she asked. And so, and he was thinking, look at all the stuff I do for God. Look at all the stuff I do for other people. I ought to be getting healed. She is not living right. And how come God heals her every time? And of course, the simple answer is that he was trying to qualify based on his own righteousness. I should be good enough for all I've done. I certainly should qualify by now. And that just took him out of the realm of God's grace. God can only be gracious to someone if they don't think they deserve it. When he thinks he deserves it, God cannot be gracious anymore. Like we said before, if your boss comes up to you and hands you your paycheck and said, here's a gift, and they go, well, that's my paycheck. No, it's a gift. I want to give it to you. No, I earned that. You can't gift someone something that they think belongs to them, that they earned it. That, no, that's mine. And so when you think I've earned it, I've done well enough, so God ought to pay me what is coming to me, you've just established your own righteousness or self-righteousness. And so I said, well, this other person, she's always sorrowful and quick to repent. She knows she's wrong. And she gets before God, lays out her case, asks for forgiveness, bam! The healing comes right now. We ran into another case in our church, another lady just like that. And other people were saying, you know, she's rough around the edges. She's not living right. And she keeps getting healed. Same thing, a different lady. And it's like, yeah, I know. Because she walks in here going, oh God, I'm a sinner. I'm messed up. I need help. And bam, the healing right away. Every time. And you go, that doesn't seem fair. She ought to clean up her act or change these other things. And that'd be a good idea because the laws in sowing and reaping are going to eventually catch up with her, you know, if she keeps doing certain things in her life. But both individuals that are quick to be healed every time walked in the door thinking, I'm a mess. I'm in trouble. I need help. I'm so sorry. Bam, they got it. Where the other person is walking around thinking, how much stuff do I need to do before I get healed? What a difference to think that, how do I qualify for grace? Grace is the word gift. It's the word charis. It means that something is transferred to your benefit because the benefactor just simply wants to transfer to it to you. If you're going to get Christmas presents next week, and somebody hands you one and you grab it and you go, I deserve this. It's like, or what if you gave something to your kid or one of your kids and they grabbed it and they said, I deserve this. It takes something out of you because you realize, well, I wanted to be nice to you and give you this thing. If they think they deserve it, it's hard to give it to them as a gift. So now the other issue is, we talked about a couple of times, Pastor Shelley mentioned the curse of the fall. And some people say, why is there still sickness? Didn't Jesus go to the cross and die and rise from the dead? Why should we even be dealing with this anymore? For the same reason why there's still demonic beings here. That'd be a great time, Jesus, while you were leaving and rising from the dead and being here to wipe that group out so we didn't have to deal with that. Same reason why they are still here. And that is when mankind turned over the lease to planet Earth and signed it over, he signed it over until Jesus returns. Jesus rose from the dead, but when Jesus returns at the second coming, he sets up a new kingdom where he rules and reigns, where the leaves of the trees along the river of life heal the nations, where there is no demonic or satanic forces at all, and we're not there yet. But I thought that he redeemed us from the curse of the law. See, careful, look at that word. Curse of what? Curse of the law. What did I mention earlier? Curse of the fall. There are two curses, the curse of the fall of man and the curse of the law. Violating the law of God, the law of Moses. You understand? The curse of the law dealt with our sin, and Jesus became a curse for us hanging on the tree and destroyed the sin barrier between us and God. Wiped out the curse of the law, the legal power that was held against us, that we needed a legal remedy out of. And he destroyed it, the curse of the law. But notice that the curse of the fall of man from the garden goes all the way till Jesus rules and reigns again. Because mankind rules until Jesus returns to the second coming. Because he's going to rule and reign, not Satan and not man. Remember, man shall rule over all the earth in Genesis? Notice that in the last 1,000 years, it doesn't say that man rules over all the earth. It says that Christ Jesus is the ruler. So as long as man still has rulership, that goes all the way till the new ruler takes over. That's the curse of the fall. That's why some people still experience sickness, pain in childbirth, labor. People still work for a living, and they feel it. They work the ground. There's still thistles and things like that, thorns in the earth and such. You've run into it. It's still here. But we can rise above that. We don't have to say, well, it's here, so we're just going to have to participate with it. No, we don't have to. Because before Jesus rose into heaven, he said, in my name you shall, and he started speaking things off about having power over demons, power over poisons, speaking in new tongues, supernatural gifts, and believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, he wasn't talking about waiting till I come back to the millennial kingdom. He said, boys, it starts now. And even though the curse of the fall of man is not over till Jesus rules and reign, comes down out of heaven, white horse, foot touches down on Mount of Olives, sets up his kingdom, the curse of the law was wiped out completely. So we can participate and partake of what is available to us now. That earnest, that down payment was given to us ahead of time. There are even an earnest down payment in inheritances that are able to be given. I've received two of them while the people were still alive. They gave me part of my inheritance as a living being. In one case, it was all that they were going to give me. They said, I want to see what happens to it while I'm alive, not after I'm dead. But it says that God is giving us an early down payment, a partial payment of what? Inheritance. Well, our inheritance is heaven. Our inheritance is a resurrected body, fully healthy, fully with clarity of thought, non-issue, in heaven. That's our whole inheritance of heaven. And the Bible says, I'll give you a down payment. That means he's going to let you have a piece of it early, a piece of heaven early, a piece of the way it is in heaven now. Is there joy in heaven? You can have it now. Is there peace in heaven? You can have it now. Are they running around in pain in heaven? No, you can have that now. So when God said you can have an early partial down payment, it isn't all of heaven on earth, but it's enough to get us through. It's a down payment, an early experience that we realize, you know what? I like life. I like it. There's bad things that happen on planet Earth, but in general, I like the fact that there's life and I'm aware of my own existence and the things that have been made available to me. Praise God. So be careful about the curse of the fall and the curse of the law. Don't let that confuse you, thinking that you have to put up with stuff or thinking that, well, didn't God make a mistake? The same way with the demons. They have to stop their activity and be done when Jesus rules and reigns too. But because man still has rulership, they're allowed to stay. Now, I don't really feel bad or sorry for them, but they can't get away from us. Do you understand they're trapped? Now, when Jesus was walking the earth, they didn't want anything to do with him. And then later, they didn't want anything to do with Paul. They just wanted to get in a way, in an area where they could function, where they weren't dealt with in the spirit realm. They can't get away from us. They can't have sex and have little baby demons and just fill the earth with a population explosion of demons. They can't do that. They're a fixed, created being. And they don't have that power to function and do that. But here we are, born-again Christians, filled with the power of God on the inside of us that can go from 1 billion Christians to 2 billion Christians. They're being overwhelmed. When I worked the drug and alcohol and the mental health units of Oral Roberts Ministries at the hospital, sometimes I'd get around people with demons, and I'd know by a word of knowledge that I'm dealing with a demon. And when that would happen, people would say, watch out for that girl or watch out for that guy, because they're a really problem person. They're a troublemaker. And they'd get around me, and they'd be as nice as could be. Cooperative, interactive, and stuff. And I'm thinking, you dirty demon, you're hiding. You don't want to deal with me. And so all of a sudden, you know, I walk into the room, we get up there like, they interact and they're doing well. They're not acting out. You know, we're not hitting them with a hypo or putting them in four ways or anything like that. And I go away, then they act out again, because I knew that they got real quiet real quick, and it happened all the time. And I'd go, wow, they've gone into hiding mode because they don't want to be exposed or dealt with. Yep. And so here they are trapped on planet Earth with us, who have the same power, the same exact identical Holy Spirit that was inside Jesus, not a different one. Not a lesser one, the identical exact Holy Spirit, the very Holy Spirit that actually was inside Jesus Christ himself, resides in us. Not a different one. And here they're trapped now with like a billion people that function just like Jesus did. Maybe 2 billion. I don't really know. I'm hoping that the numbers are way higher than I'm thinking, and they might be. The one thing I've come to know over time with the different denominations and different Christians around the world, that a lot of them confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised them from the dead in a different way than I do. And yet, when I look at the scripture, I realize they don't believe exactly like I do, but they believe the Bible according to what it is to get saved. And I want them to say a certain kind of prayer or call it a certain way, and I realize, well, they are probably saved because they did what the Bible said, not the little things that we add to it all the time. Bless God. Praise God. If you do what the Bible said for salvation, you're saved. We don't add a single thing to it. Praise God. Praise God. Anyway, curse the law, curse the fall, two different things. We need to get it straight, but the down payment is available now. As the days of heaven on earth, the Bible says. As the days of heaven on earth. Even the people that say the Our Father. How does that go? On earth as it is in heaven, on earth as it is in heaven. I wonder what earth they're talking about. Are you guys calling each other? On earth as it is in heaven. So the way it is in heaven, it ought to be on earth. The will of God in heaven and the will of God on earth are the same. He doesn't have a different will in heaven and go, oh, I'm on earth now. There's a different will down here. It's the same will. The heaven will and the earth will are identical. He doesn't swap out or change. So, praise God. How you doing? Wow.
Let me just close in prayer. Did anybody here need any prayer for anything? We got a couple? Okay. All righty. And what are you... Shoulder and neck? Okay. Hallelujah.
Let's just proclaim the year of Jubilee.
Hallelujah.
Over the shoulders and neck that they shall return to the best they've ever been.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God.
Peace of God. We just speak your peace over this body right now, Lord God, that it would just surge through her body from the very top of her head to the sole of her feet. And we just command all stress and tension to leave this body, for these muscles and tendons to be loosed in Jesus' name. Everything line up according to the word of God. You've been set free. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Lord God. So we just proclaim liberty, proclaim freedom over this body to function the way you're supposed to. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the price you paid. Yep. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your anointing. Yep. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay. So, all right. All right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We just bind that spirit of depression in Jesus' mm-hmm. name.
Yes.
And we say you cannot function.
Cannot.
In Jesus' name, we bind you. Word of God declares whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. So we loose a spirit of freedom and liberty, joy, and peace over this mind and this heart by Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Any physical effects, we command you to leave this body in Jesus' name. We just speak clarity of thinking over this mind, Lord God. We just pray, Father God, that you would bring forth revelation of her value and worth and purpose in you, Lord. We
That's
thank
right.
you for it.
Exactly.
Thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Mm-hmm. Freedom, free, free, free. Whom the Son sets free is free, free, free in Jesus' name. Free to be. Free to do, free to love,
free to love. That's right.
In
free
Jesus'
to love.
Name.
Free to love.
Thank you, Lord God.
Power, love, and sound mind.
Yes, hallelujah.
Power, love, and sound mind.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank
hallelujah.
You, Lord. Thank
hallelujah.
You, Lord. Peace.
A heart tender in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. May that heart beat yeah. forth in Jesus'
yeah.
name. That tenderness.
Thank you, Lord
forth.
God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise Hallelujah. God. Thank you for
Praise
it, Lord.
The
Hallelujah.
The joy of the Lord.
Yes.
Stirred right now.
Yes.
Praise your holy name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Strong in the Lord.
Strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Hallelujah. Let's just all say that together about a dozen times here. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You need to say it out loud out of your mouth. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The enemy wants to keep us in a place where we feel weak and we feel less than. And he's a liar. He's the father of lies. Isn't that right? So primarily, whatever the devil's telling you, The opposite's probably true.
Amen.
If he's telling you you're going to go bankrupt, guess what?
Blessings are coming.
The truth is, he's your provider and it's on the way. Amen? It's there. Amen? If he's telling you you're going to die, guess what? There's a price that's been paid. Amen. And it's not over unless you quit. Amen. And that's the danger we come to. Sometimes we get weak and we get tired of fighting. And we don't want to press in anymore. We're tired. We just want to be done with it. That's dangerous territory. Dangerous territory. It's not over until you see victory. You quit or you keep pressing in till you see victory. That's why it's important what you say. Let the weak say, I am. The joy of the Lord is your. I am strong in the Lord. It's not in your power, not in your might, but it's in Him, and He's in you. So if we tap into Him, we're going to be strengthened from the inside out, and then we're going to be able to stand against the works of the enemy. Amen. It's important what you say in the situation that you're in, because you can get overwhelmed. I mean, there's things that they seem so real. When the enemy's hitting you with something, you feel it sometimes. And you just kind of have to gird yourself up, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and say, enough. Amen. It's a battle, but the promise is there's victory for you. Amen. Amen. How many victorious ones we got in here? Amen. Uh-oh, my phone's ringing now. Thought I shut it off. It's a new one. I haven't quite figured it out yet. Yeah. All right. Can't yell at you, can I? All right. Is there anybody else that wants prayer? Are we good? For what?
Boldness?
You want it all. Okay. Okay.
And my family. I have six children.
Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Well, he's running out, but I think... All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for who you are and for all that you've given unto us, Lord God. And Father, you've heard that desire from the very top of his head, Lord God, to the sole of his feet. He wants to be filled and consumed with you. He wants that boldness. He wants that strength, that power to just flow through him. He wants to be a light to the world around him, especially to his children. So, Lord, fill him and flood him for your glory. Father God, bring him the wisdom and the boldness that he needs to walk out the plan, the purposes that you have already foreordained for him to carry out in this life. We thank you for it, Lord God. Bless him. Bring increase. Bring wisdom. Bring strength. Bring power. And just revelation and understanding of your plans and purposes for his life, that you would have your way in and through him. And we thank you for it, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Yay, God. Yay, God. Aren't you glad we serve the God we serve? I'm telling you, we are a blessed people. You know, and to live in the New Testament, amen. I mean, when you think about how they had to come and how, you know, the priest had represent them and how they had to stand afar off and look at these things and they had no hope of ever entering in. And now he says, come boldly before the throne of grace. And we can enter in anytime we want. And that's the answer to most of our problems in life. And you know what we were talking about, the year of Jubilee, is a year of rest. What God's been speaking to Pastor about is it's time to rest. Rest more, do less. Rest more, do less. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that in the last year from his lips. God's speaking to him. And it's not just for him, it's me as well. God's yoke and burden is what? And easy. If it's not light and easy, then we're doing something wrong. Right? I mean, his grace makes it easy. But he doesn't burden us down like an old ox, you know, and just heap it on and heap it on and heap it on and heap it on and heap it on. We do that to ourselves. And this is a season right now where I'm looking at God and saying, okay, what do I get rid of? What do I do? Because if I'm overburdened, it's not you. It's me. Amen? And that can wear you out. There's that, I can't remember the guy's name, in the New Testament, where he about wore himself out for the work of the ministry. And that's not the will of God. Not the will of God at all. Amen? And there's a balance. Because God wants you living a life. He wants you living in freedom. He wants your relationships to flow. He wants the light of God to be seen in you. None of that happens unless you're spending time with him. Because everything comes out of fellowship with him. There's a flow of love that's just natural. You know, you can be as religious as you want to be, but if there's no love flow and you're mean and nasty, guess what? There's something choking it off. There's something, there's a root in there that's got to be dealt with and pulled out. Because that love, you get in the presence of God. Ask God, show me what's going on here, because I just don't love people. Sometimes it's I don't love me. Unless we deal with that. It's, you know, you can't love others unless you love yourself. And if we're on self-destruct, we got to deal with that to begin with. But if we're spending time with him, there's a flow. Flow of love, flow of peace, flow of joy, flow of wisdom, flow of revelation. But we got to spend time with him. Yeah, and I don't mean you have to be in there 14 hours every day, because you got to do all the other stuff too. But it's got to be a priority. Amen. Time with him has got to be a priority. Amen. Grab the snippets you get here and there and take the chunks when you can. But he's just waiting on us.
Yeah, he is.
We're sitting there waiting on, okay, God, do something. We're waiting on him, but you enter in.
He wants it more than we do.
Yeah, and he does. Absolutely. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you for this time together, for your word, for your presence, for your goodness, for your mercy. And we just pray, Lord, that you would be magnified in our midst. And we thank you that you have opened that door wide for us to walk through. Hallelujah. Thank you so much that we can come into that place, that you can have your way and reveal to us what we need to know and see. That you would be glorified, magnified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it's going to be a good week, amen? We've got midweek service. Thursday, we've got New Year's Eve. I'm jumping a week. Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a candlelight service. And then Christmas on Friday. How'd that get here already? I don't know about you, but this whole last year has just taken me by storm. I'm just amazed at how quick it's come and gone. And I don't think next year's going to slow down. So we got to redeem the time. Amen. Amen.